This morning and turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. I spoke on this psalm to the kids in chapel on Thursday morning, and this is a psalm that all the kids in our school memorize. And I thought it might be beneficial if I shared a few thoughts from this with you this morning. So while you're turning there, let's pray and ask God's blessing on this message. Father, as we open the scriptures this morning, we pray that you will speak to our hearts and help us to understand the importance of thanksgiving. Lord, help us to understand its significance and what a place it ought to hold in our hearts and in our lives. And so through the workings of your Holy Spirit, we ask you to teach us and instruct us and then help us to make practical application of this truth to our lives on a daily basis. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we approach Thanksgiving, it's important that we Christians prepare our hearts for this special day. Now, we know that to be ready for special days requires special preparation. And when it comes to Thanksgiving, the preparation in many homes involves mom going out to the grocery store and buying a turkey and buying all the ingredients for dressing and vegetables and desserts. And then she'll spend 2 or 3 days cooking for all the family members to eat on this very special day. But the Word of God tells us that Thanksgiving should be recognized every time we enter the house of God. Now, if you got your Bible open, let's go ahead and read Psalm 100 here. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Here God is addressing Israel, all people, and all nations. And let me tell you, if any people should be thankful as a nation, we Americans should be at the top of the list. We live in the richest country in the world, the most prosperous country in the world. And what I find interesting is that our Thanksgiving Day celebration is a distinctive holiday. That is, it doesn't commemorate a battle or anyone's birthday, or an anniversary. It is a day set aside for one thing only. It is set aside to express our nation's thanks to God. And on this Thursday, our nation will pause once again to celebrate Thanksgiving Day. And I think that the 100th Psalm was written to remind us of our need to be thankful and our need to maintain an attitude of gratitude. You know, one time an experiment was done in New York's Central Park where an advertising firm dressed a man up as a blind man and gave him a cup to collect money. On day one, they put a sign around his neck that read, "I'm blind." On that day, he collected about $4. But the next day, they dressed him the same way. They placed him in the same spot, but they changed the sign to read this: "It's spring and I'm blind." And that day, he collected 10 times as much money. He collected $40 on that day. Apparently on that day, those people realized how blessed they were to be able to enjoy seeing the beautiful flowers and the trees and the birds and the sunrise and the sunset. And so they were more compassionate towards him. It caused them to recognize and appreciate their blessings. Well, we need to recognize how blessed we are today as we approach Thanksgiving. So let's look at several things that will help us to prepare our hearts for this very special day that we call Thanksgiving Day. And really, I want to focus on two things this morning. First of all, the basis of our Thanksgiving. The basis of our Thanksgiving. In Psalm 100, God is basically saying to Israel, look, when you came into the promised land and settled down in your warm homes and you had plenty to eat, remember, I led you out of the wilderness and I brought you into this land flowing with milk and honey. Don't forget me. And it doesn't take very much reading in the Old Testament to see that the people of Israel needed that reminder. But I'm convinced that God had us in mind also when this psalm was written. Did you notice to whom it's addressed? The first verse says it's addressed to all ye lands. And then the last verse says it includes all generations. This message of thanksgiving applies to everyone. All lands, all nations, all people. And with that thought in mind, you have to wonder, why aren't more people thankful? And I kind of think there are at least two reasons why people aren't more thankful. First of all, it's because sometimes we feel entitled to the blessings of God. In Psalm 68 in verse 19, it says, blessed be the Lord, which daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. It says God daily loads us with benefits. He is good to us every single day. His grace makes it so he blesses us on a regular basis. And the trouble with receiving something on a regular basis, such as the blessings of God, is we eventually come to expect it. We take the blessings of God for granted. And we act like somehow, and I don't know if this is possibly because we are Americans and we live in such a prosperous country, but sometimes we act like we deserve these blessings. And we're ungrateful and are not expressing our thanksgiving as we should. And what happens is we fail to understand that we deserve nothing. We deserve nothing. Let me even rephrase that. It's not that we deserve nothing. It's this. If God gave us what we really deserved, we'd be in a mess. We'd be in a mess. So we need to remember that. So we don't take God's blessings for granted. Now, there's another reason people don't give thanks to the Lord. And that's because often we base our thanksgiving on how much we have. And the problem for many is that in life, you will always find people who have more than you have. So we can't base our thanksgiving on how much we have. If we do, then we'll never be thankful. Never, ever. We can always find someone who has more than we do. So why should we be thankful? Simple. Our thanksgiving should be based on our relationship with the Lord. You'll notice in Psalm 100 that it's not about being thankful for things, but for him. Thankful for the Lord. In verse 1, you find the name of the Lord. In verse 2, you find the name of the Lord. In verse 3, you find the name of the Lord. In verse 5, you find the name of the Lord. And, of course, then verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And so the basis of our thanksgiving is him, not things, not things. Have you ever heard of the author Alex Haley? Alex Haley was famous for writing the book that became a miniseries, Roots. You may recognize that. Well, Alex Haley had an unusual picture hanging on his office wall. It was a picture of a turtle on top of a fence post. And when he was asked, why is that there? Alex Haley answered this: every time I write something significant, every time I read my words and think that they're wonderful and begin to feel proud of myself, I look at the turtle on top of the fence post and remember that he didn't get there on his own. He had help. He had help. Now, of course, he was talking about those who helped him over the years in his writing career. But the same is true when it comes to our relationship with God. The basis for our thanksgiving is our being reminded that every good thing we have comes from the Lord. James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no shadow, neither variableness of turning. It comes from him. He is the basis of our thanksgiving. Our thanksgiving is based on our relationship with him, a relationship that only comes about through faith in Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And so we see that the basis for our thanksgiving is our relationship to God. Now, the second thing I want to talk to you this morning is not just the basis of our thanksgiving, but also the blessings of our thanksgiving. As we continue to look at Psalm 100, we see God gives us five commands in this thanksgiving passage of Scripture. And we come to understand that being thankful is a choice. Now, griping and complaining is a choice as well. But that's not God's will for us. The story is told of a lady who was known as an incurable grumbler. She constantly complained about everything. Well, at last her preacher thought he had found something about which she would be happy. Her potato crop that year was the finest potato crop for miles around. And when he met her, he said with a beaming smile, he said, "You must be very happy. Everyone is saying how healthy your potato crop is." And her response was, "Yeah, they're pretty good. But what am I going to do when I need bad ones to feed to the pigs?" No winning there, right? Grumbling and complaining is a choice. But so is thanksgiving. So is thanksgiving. The famous author Rudyard Kipling, you've probably heard that name. And Rudyard Kipling wrote one of my favorite books as a kid. You may remember it from school, Rikki Tikki Tavi. Anybody ever read that book by Rudyard? It was one of my favorite books ever as a kid. Anyway, he wrote lots of others as well. He's most famous for Jungle Book and the movie Jungle Book and all of that. So anyway, Rudyard Kipling was a great writer that had opportunity to really enjoy his success while he lived. He made a great deal of money at his trade. Well, one time, a very smart alecky newspaper reporter came up to him and said, "Mr. Kipling, I just read that somebody calculated that the money you make from your writings amounts to over $100 a word. Mr. Kipling kind of raised his eyebrows and said, really, I certainly wasn't aware of that. And the reporter then reached into his pocket and pulled out a $100 bill and gave it to Kipling and very sarcastically said, here's a $100 bill, Mr. Kipling. Now how about giving me one of your $100 words? Rudyard Kipling looked at the $100 bill for a moment, took it, folded it up, and put it in his pocket. And then he looked at the man, and he said, here's your $100 word. Thanks. And then he turned around and walked away. And you know, he's absolutely right. The word thanks is certainly a $100 word. As a matter of fact, I think it's probably more like $1 million word. It's $1 million word. It's a word that is definitely too seldom heard. It's a word that is too often forgotten. It's a word that is too rarely spoken. So let's look at five commands about being thankful that are found here in Psalm 100. The first command is this, shout. Look at verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That word that in Psalm 100 is translated noise, in many other places in our King James Bible, it's translated shout. Shout. Now, the word shout scares a lot of people. And I'm not sure why. It doesn't seem to scare them when they attend a ball game. It doesn't seem to scare them when they get promoted on the job or when they win a prize or when a problem is solved. But when it comes to the Lord, somehow it scares them. But the psalmist is saying we should shout for the joy of the Lord. When a blessing has been provided by God, we should shout from the very depths of our being. The word means to shout with the force of a trumpet blast. A famous preacher by the name of Roland Allen, a preacher from the past, tells in one of his books about a veteran missionary who came up to him. This was one day after Roland Allen had preached a sermon. And the missionary introduced himself. And he said, I was a medical missionary for many years in India. I served in a region where there was progressive blindness. People were born with healthy vision, but there was something in that area that caused people to lose their sight as they grew older. Well, it turns out that that missionary had developed a treatment that would stop progressive blindness. So there in India, people came to him and they would leave realizing that they would have been completely blind, but because of this missionary, their sight had been saved. But this is what the missionary said to Roland Allen about that experience. He said, not one of them ever said thank you. Now, before you judge those folks too harshly, you have to understand this. In their dialect, there is no word for thank you. There is no word for thank you. And so instead, they spoke a word in their dialect which meant, I will tell your name. And wherever they went, they would tell the name of the missionary who had cured their blindness. They had received something so wonderful that they eagerly proclaimed it. And this is what the psalmist is saying. When you realize that God has been so good to you and you can't keep it inside anymore, then from the depths of your being, you should shout your joy unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So that's the first command when it comes to thanksgiving in Psalm 100, the command to shout. Now, the second command is serve. Serve. If you'll notice there in verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Now, look at the word serve. Notice it doesn't say serve others or serve the church or serve the congregation. It says serve the Lord. But the teaching of Jesus is that when you serve others, you are serving the Lord. In Matthew 25, 40, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." The Bible teaches that if we witness on behalf of the lost and feed the hungry and clothe the naked, and when we minister to and help others and when we pray for them, we are serving the Lord. And unfortunately, many have not grown spiritually enough to grasp this. They serve from a feeling of obligation, or they serve from a feeling of guilt, or they serve to get attention. And until a Christian comes to recognize that we are put here to serve Him, and the way we serve Him is by serving others joyfully, and we're to serve the Lord, and we're to serve others out of a heart of love, until we get to that point, we will never be thankful for His blessings. And so command number one is shout. Command number two is serve. Now the third command is, we should do all this with singing. It says there again in verse 2, come before His presence with singing. Do you ever hear people complaining? And I'm talking about people who profess to be saved. They're active in church. They're trying to serve the Lord. But the whole time they're serving, they are complaining. Well, that tells us something about their focus. They're not serving the Lord with the right attitude. Because this verse says we're to serve the Lord with gladness. Not sadness, not madness. We're to serve the Lord with gladness. And I'll tell you what, if you've got gladness in your heart, you will sing. You will sing. Maybe not on key, right? Maybe not with the right timing, but you'll be singing. Many Christians have lost their song, and it's proof that they're not serving the Lord with gladness. And they need to pray the same thing that David prayed over in Psalm 51, verse 2, when he said, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation." We are to come before His presence with singing. And so we are to shout, we're to serve, we're to sing. And then the fourth command is this: know ye. Verse 3, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. God's word says, know ye. Know ye. Now, can I be honest with you? Many folks live as if they created themselves. And they act like they have every right to do with their life as they please. But this is not so. God made us. He took every bone, every joint, and He welded them together with sinews and muscle and covered them with skin. He gave us eyes with which we can see. He gave us brains with which we can think. He gave us fingers with which we can pick things up. He gave us feet with which we can walk. God made us. The scriptures say, it is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. And then He says, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. You know what else I found? Most of us want to be shepherds and not sheep. But the problem is, we don't know where the still waters and the green pastures are. And every time we go out searching for them on our own, we invariably end up in the far country. And so He's saying, you be the sheep, let me be the shepherd, and I'll lead you beside the still waters, into the green pastures. Let me lead. Know ye, that is, understand that I am God and not you, and let me lead. You just commit your life to following me. We need to know this. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. And then here's the fifth command. It's the command to enter. Verses 4 and 5, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. In the Old Testament, the temple symbolized the presence of God. And whenever the people came to the temple and entered the courtyards, they knew that they came into the presence of God. Now, that temple no longer exists. And instead, it's you and I. As believers in Christ, as Christians, we are the temple. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" That is, if you're a Christian, if you're trusting in Christ alone for the salvation of your soul, you're the temple of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, what? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" You, as a Christian, are the temple of God. And so wherever you go, the presence of God goes with you. He is with you as you drive on the highway. He is with you when you work. He's with you as you care for your children. He's with you through every trial and difficulty. He's with you every moment of your life. Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And in Hebrews 13:5, we read, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And that thought ought to be something that brings much thanksgiving into our hearts. I recently came across this little essay, I guess you'd call it, that I thought was so appropriate. It's entitled, "What If?" It says, "What if God began to treat us like we so often treat him? What if God met our needs to the same degree that we give him our lives? What if we never saw another flower bloom because we grumbled when God sent the rain? What if God stopped loving and caring for us because we failed to love and care for others? What if God took away his message because we wouldn't listen to his messenger? What if he didn't bless us today because we didn't thank him yesterday? What if God answered our prayers the way that we answer his call for service? What if God decided to stop leading us tomorrow because we didn't follow him today?" I read that and I immediately thought of Psalm 103, verse 10, for which I am very grateful. It says this: "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." Thank God he doesn't treat us like we treat him. God is a good God, and we need to remember his kindness towards us and thank him. And not just with our lips, although we should be doing that, that's for sure. But we should also thank him by living for him and serving him in such a way that everybody around us can see by our actions and by our attitudes that we are thankful and we are grateful for his abundant blessing upon us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning and for the challenge to our hearts. Lord, we have so very much to be thankful for. Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you for our Savior who left heaven and came down to this earth to die for our sins. And we thank you for the salvation, the forgiveness of sin, the eternal life, the hope of heaven that is provided through him. We thank you for our Bible that gives direction to our lives. We thank you for the Holy Spirit within us who strengthens us and comforts us. We thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. Lord, we thank you for our church and for the fellowship that we share. And we thank you for our families and for our friends. And we thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy here in this country, freedoms that in other places of the world they don't enjoy. We thank you for these freedoms. We realize they only come from you. We thank you for food. We thank you for clothing. We thank you for shelter. We thank you for health and strength and the jobs that we have. We thank you for peace and joy within our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy and your love and your kindness to us moment by moment.